Well, a NASA spacecraft collides with Mercury. Obama blamed. What do you know?
Live from Onoda Terrace in Madison, Wisconsin, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Mike Arnold. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's your last chance to enter our longest listener contest, plus all the news that isn't and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know is provided by PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who wonders if NASA would pay him to drive his car into the garage door... Michael Feldman.
I would do it for a grant from NASA. Okay. Before crashing into obliteration against Mercury, the craft provided valuable data showing the planet was straight ahead. NASA plans future target shooting at all eight planets and Pluto, plus your mother's house. In non-NASA news that isn't, I think the best headline of the NFL draft was the LA Times, Jameis Winston breaks out crab legs after getting number one. Pretty good. Though I would have said, Jameis is. That wouldn't have been so good, though, because it's more visual, than, but I thought that would be pretty good. Big, you know, big, bold headline. Okay. Tesla wants to sell you batteries for your house, but I'm sticking with the wind-up key. More reliable. Consumer sentiment is up. Sentiment, not sediment. I'm not a real sentimental consumer. I consume with abandon. So I don't know anything about that. Avengers Age of Ultron is not about a deodorant. Oh, I believe Ultron is a deodorant. Really big deodorant. All kind of computer effects coming from a roll-on ball. Really cool. I'm going to see it. Okay. Milwaukee Bucks rhymed by the Bulls. Anyway, well, they put up a good fight except when it counted. So, you know, what can you say about that? That's sort of what happens sometimes. No, it doesn't matter. They were good. Only way to get Floyd Mayweather. I've watched the films. There's only one way to get Floyd Mayweather. You know what you do? You drop a dollar on the mat, and when he kneels to pick it up, uppercut. Right. Might work with a quarter, but I'm saying with a dollar, he's definitely going to pick it up because he's Floyd Mayweather. Okay, coming up on this episode of Rich Guys Rockets.
On this episode of Rich Guys Rockets, Jeff Bezos Rockets homes in on Elon Musk's rocket, while Richard Branson crosses rockets with Kim Jong-un. That's coming up on Fox.
Rich Guys Rockets, I love it. It's my favorite new show. Thanks, Arnold.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Jeff Bezos, by the way, has that Saturn booster he pulled up from the ocean. So, you know, one of these days, Arnold, pow, right to the moon.
Right to the moon, yeah.
Okay, anonymous messaging app Secret shuts down with an unprintable text, don't know from who. Father of our country indicted in George Washington Bridge scandal. Bernie Sanders out to make President Bernie Sanders something other than a punchline. He's so liberal, he makes his opponent look like Hilla the Hun. I know. Oh, that's right. Really, most of the Hillary-Bernie policy differences are fashion policy. And not much of that, come to think of it. Donald Trump took the new double chin drug and eliminated his head. That was just that silly toop on his neck. But it works. That's the good news. It worked. The Brewers are just this close to shooting the dog. Ooh. Oh, and Hank, he was a good old boy. Had to do it, though. Polls show most Americans approve of drone strikes on neighbors they don't care for, providing their name doesn't get into it. Well, they got one of those basketball trampoline things. I don't want to hurt anybody. I just want to get that thing. Another poll shows that half of all Americans would call in a drone strike on themselves if it were Amazon Prime. That was much to do about nothing. Slumping McDonald's completely rethinks its menu with 50 shades of haggis. The Scottish entrails and a bladder treat. Because old McDonald used everything. McHaggis. This is what they're going for, the whole campaign. McHaggis, not just in a bladder anymore. Yeah. That big, instead of the golden arches, they will have a giant bladder. Just have to fill it in, and you got a bladder, basically. So it's good. The McHaggis shake. Once you get used to the color and the smell, you'll never drink anything else. Another news. The Obama Library, long overdue, goes to Chicago's Hoffman Estates O'Hare landing approach. Because people are only too anxious to get out of there, so they got to land cheap. The highlight of the Obama Library will be a huge drone targeting game called Drone On and On. So interactive. You're going to love it. Speaking of Jeb Bush, in case you were, has so far kept off all the weight by holding off on his native rice and beans and fatback diet. Eventually, of course, he will return to looking much more like his mother than his father. I don't know if Jeb saw this, though. On the bottom there's a little notice, asterisk, limit 2 presidencies per family. Seems reasonable. Most families are lucky to get one, you know. So that's, some families will just get all the presidencies, you know. Stack them up. Millennials, it seems, favor Hillary Clinton for president, but Rand Paul for disc golf. Most of the questions from the Supreme Court justices on same-sex marriage were, how does the honeymoon work? Some of them, I haven't been out in the world too much, you know, so to speak. Scott Walker on the campaign trail so long that he had to apply for a visa to return to Wisconsin. And because of his immigration policies, it's no sure thing that'll get him. And finally, this just in, Duchess Kate gives birth to a Duchette. So congratulations to the royal family. That's all the news. That is it. Thank you so much. Let's go do something now. I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? You know, that's what kids must do, that texting thing now, instead of saying, I don't know. What do you want to do? Right? So they're just probably texting one another. That was our whole childhood. I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? And then you always do the same thing you always do. Whatever it was. Ride your bikes. Okay, I don't mean to complain. Our generations all have their upsides to them, don't they?
They do, yeah. That's what I heard, at least.
A little more, come on, I want to see what you got.
More? Yeah, I want to see what I really got. You know how kids are these days, right?
Yeah. Now, you got, how old is yours?
10.
So he's not quite in the danger zone.
Oh, he's getting there. He's getting there.
Yeah. On the edge of it?
Yeah, right on the edge.
Doing
a
little talking back, maybe?
Sometimes, yeah.
I mean, you are?
What was that?
Are you talking back?
No, I'm very polite.
You started talking back to your kid yet?
He's polite with me. We're polite with each other.
The first thing you learn as a parent is don't talk back to your kids.
Is that how it works?
Yeah, and if they're girls, get the hell out of their way. Because they're not talking to you. So anyhow, the longest listener contest. We've had people who have been listening continually, whatever is right, for years now, years and years and years and years. And we got this longest listener contest. So first of all, we have our Funny You Don't Look 30 anniversary party on June the 13th of this year, whatever this year is.
Wait a minute. I got to write this down.
Yeah. Write it down.
June
you should
13th.
Be here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll
June
be
13th.
Got it.
Yeah. And it's a long. It's and we're celebrating 30 fabulous years under the radar in public radio. Excuse me. So we have this longest listener contest coming on. And people are sending in entries for wanting, and we're going to fly you here from wherever you are, especially if you're from around here. I'm hoping to fly some of them from Baraboo. If someone's got a Piper Cub out
quite
there.
Quite a flight there.
It is. Well, it can be choppy.
It's beautiful.
You'd be surprised. Coming over those bluffs, you know, you get that updraft from the water and so forth. So forth. Plus, you're trying to dive bomb and see where the nude bathers are. You know, flight's never coming straight. They're going, pull up. Anyway, what was I saying?
Longest
listener contest. So you can still enter. We have like one more week left now. So I'm saying, how can they enter this? If you've been listening for years, it doesn't have to be the longest in terms of years. It has to be the longest in terms of total effect it's had on you. You know?
Cumulative effect.
Thank you very much. Is a good way of putting it. And how would they find out about what the rules are and so forth?
Oh, I guess you could go to the website, notmuch.com.
You guess or you know?
I always.
You're the announcer.
I guess.
What announcer
says
that? Oh, I'm
sorry. Yes, go to the website, notmuch.com.
Yes. Right.
Or, that's what you do.
Thanks, Arnold.
I think that's what you do. Yeah.
Okay, and we got some results here. If you want to call in and give us your testimony now, we'll take testimony now. What's the number here?
The number here is 1-800-942-5669, or that, to make it easier, it's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WACK-NOW.
Okay.
So you
have you spoken English before? Is this your first spoken English course?
Close, yeah.
You sound like a native, almost. here's the thing, then. So if you want to call in and give us your testimony right now, it doesn't have to be the longest in terms of years. Like I say, it's more the effect that it's had overall on your well-being. So that's the number to call. What was it again?
The number is 1-800-942-5669. Again, it's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WACK-NOW.
Yeah, thank you. And Arnold and I have some things that have been sent in here just to give you an idea of what you're up against. This is from Maureen Fares in Michigan City, Indiana, who says, the addiction started in 1988. While driving home from Saturday morning at work, I stumbled on this show on WVPE and sat in my driveway listening for the remaining half hour of the show. Since I worked most Saturday mornings and was on call the rest of the day, the quest of finding a way to listen to the show started. I bought a timer for my tape player at home, which worked some of the time. Then I bought a portable tape player, which I brought to work so I could flip the tapes when needed. The staff thought I was crazy looking for the spots with the best reception and trying to time tape flips for times I was not in appointments. Tell me this is not a doctor. From there, I progressed to a tape player with a timer that worked most of the time. It was so disappointing to come home and find dead air or a local high school game recorded. We later moved to Central New York, where I couldn't find a local station, but then it became available most of the time on computer. This is great. Now I had a way to listen, but dial-up connections didn't always work well.
That's a long-time listener there.
Yeah. Listening on dial-up. We finally got DSL, slightly better, and all was great except when I had to work Saturdays. Eventually, we moved back to Indiana, where I could listen on WBEZ from Chicago, but then they stopped airing it.
Ooh.
I think I feel. I went into withdrawal, but then podcasts came out. I was saved. Now I am a faithful podcast listener, buying the podcast through Audible. My husband and daughter have indulged me twice by going with me to Madison to catch a live show. Congrats on 30 years. Maureen. There, yeah, that's what we're talking about. This kind of dedication, going through tape players, ladies and gentlemen. Flipping tapes at work kind of thing.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Arnold, you got one?
You want me to read one?
Yeah.
Let's see here. All right, Jean Rashke. She's from Mercer. Is that in Wisconsin?
Yes.
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Wisconsin, I guess. I don't know. It says, Michael, I don't... What? What?
No, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead. Whatever.
Yeah. Another Mercer's.
It says, Michael, I don't remember the year, but I've been listening for some time already when I heard about the fish pin being offered as a premium on a pledge drive.
Oh, yeah.
There was also a choice of a fish tie and possibly a t-shirt. I was a young, single, 20-something. And it was a fish pin that got me to make my first pledge to public radio.
That's sad.
My children That's played with sad. It and lost the pin many years later. Oh. Or I'd still have it today.
Yeah, it was a genuine fit. It was a shad. It was encased in plastic.
So. Yeah. Yeah, so that's it, the fish pin.
That's it?
Yeah, that's good, isn't
no
it?
No more?
Yeah.
Explaining why that was so important?
I think that's a pretty good entry. That's not bad. Yeah. I mean, fish pins, that's something. Does anybody in the crowd have a fish pin?
Don't work the audience.
No. Oh,
the
sorry.
Announcer. Get your own show.
Sorry about that.
We got Michael on the line from Tel Aviv. He's the longest listener, aren't you, Michael?
Yes, I am. I've been listening to you for so long, Michael, that I can remember watching you on WGN in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. That was me.
Yeah, for four long weeks, if I recall correctly.
Well, didn't they air the last 2 weeks? I thought they were supposed to.
I don't know. I don't remember it's been that long. But
yeah.
I moved 8 time zones away from you, Michael,
8
just so that I could watch you live in the evenings when it wasn't too early to drink, because that certainly improves the entertainment value.
Yeah. So that was that was for 1 month, though. You're talking about the TV show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've been listening to you since, and you drove me to the Holy Land.
I did.
You did.
Okay, well, I don't know what to say. Well, there's the right to return. You know, you have that right, Michael. I choose not to exercise that right.
I have the right to return to Wisconsin?
Yes, that too. You certainly do, because, you know, a lot of us, this is the land that time forgot. No, what do they call it? Sky blue waters. No, what are we? Where the earth was young. When God, what was it in lacrosse there? What? God's country, that's where we are. God's country, so Tel Aviv, God's country. Take your pick.
Yeah, that seems a little confusing. I mean, yeah. I would come back, but then I'd be watching you at 10 in the morning, and I can't open the whiskey that early, at least not yet.
And certainly not on Shabbos.
Certainly not.
Yes.
I mean, I certainly wouldn't be talking on the telephone and watching the TV
Shabbos. If you're Orthodox.
If I was, yeah. Yeah, fortunately for everybody concerned, including the Orthodox, I am not among them.
Okay. And so what are you saying, how significant this was to you? You want to put that in there, Michael, just to make this a little better? Rather than just endurance. I mean, endurance alone is not enough.
Okay.
changed your life.
Really,
doesn't have to be a change. What? That's it?
That's all I got.
Okay.
You've been many years of entertainment, and I've endured them.
Thank you very much. It's to the wailing wall for you, Michael. I want you to get down there. Ask for forgiveness. Nice talking to you. Thanks. Norman's in the Cleveland area, which is near the wailing wall,
and
I believe.
To the gentleman from Tel Aviv, I want to say good Shabbos to him, too.
Yes.
And I've been listening to you for a long time. I don't even know how many years. I remember a couple that you had on who were from Peru,
yeah.
but they live in Cleveland now,
uh-huh.
And their son's a great horn player. I play saxophone and I teach.
Oh, okay.
But one of the most memorable experiences,
yeah.
And I hope I can get through this.
I hope so, too.
You interviewed Doug Barlett when you were in Hillsborough, North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
He was a Pulitzer winner, cartoonist.
Yes, oh, right, and, great cartoonist.
And he wrote a book that was kind of autobiographical called The Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And then a friend of mine, and it was a great book, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And then a friend of mine was looking for a hostess gift when she was in North Carolina.
Uh-huh.
And she couldn't find, they didn't have that book at the airport. But mm-hmm. Here's another one that he wrote called Magic Time, which kind of parallels the murders of the civil rights workers in Mississippi.
Oh.
One of my very close friends mm-hmm. was one of the trainers for the Mississippi Freedom Summer.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. And the book has had such an effect on me
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it's just, and I'm just very, very grateful for that interview And I got to tell you, Michael, nice. I mean, I have won your quiz twice.
Oh, you have.
And I just, you know, it's just one of the great shows on radio, and I just really appreciate you. And I appreciate public radio, where I am a member of WKSU and WCBN.
Yeah, thank you, Norman. It's very kind of you, and I'm happy to even tangentially been of, you know, getting you into that. And but you can't win the quiz anymore.
I know.
You know, I have to ban you. Norman, you're like the nicest guy in the world, and I got to ban you for life from playing the What Do You Know quiz.
One of the things also is we're not going to get anything else from Doug Marlett. He was killed in a car accident.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. Oh,
yeah, a couple of years ago.
Oh.
His kid, though, is his nephew, mm-hmm. Andy Marlett, mm-hmm. is apparently continuing Kudzu. Which was his...
That's a kudzu, yeah.
And I recommend both books, Magic Time and The Bridge, for everybody. You won't be the same after reading them.
Yeah. Thanks, Norman. If you want to put all that in writing, you can still enter the contest, too.
Well, thank you. That's mighty kind of you.
All right. Thanks. Nice talking to you. Bye. That's Norman in the Cleveland area. That means Cleveland Heights, probably. Or maybe it's Parma or something like that. Tim's in Garden City, Minnesota. Hey, Tim.
Good morning.
How's the weather in Garden City?
It is beautiful. It's going to be about 70 degrees. I'm out planting soybeans right now. So.
Well, you are. Do you have to have a garden in Garden City? Is it required?
My wife does.
Your wife does. Yeah. and we just grow beans?
No, I'm planting soybeans. I'm out in a 130-acre field planting.
You must be a farmer, Tim.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay, you should have mentioned that. Otherwise, it's a crazy thing to do to paint 180 acres in soybeans if you're not farming it. Because what's the payoff then?
Very low prices right now.
Yeah. Are you out in the field right now?
Yes, I am.
What are you doing right now? Are you on the tractor?
Steering down a furrow marker, planting my headland. So hopefully I end up fairly straight.
Yeah. Are you putting them in?
Yes.
You are? How does that work, then? Is there a little thing that pokes the soil and then plops one in?
Actually, you have, the easiest way, it's two-round discs that cut a furrow.
Yeah.
And then I have a meter that goes along and drops soybean seeds about an inch and a half apart.
Yeah.
So you're looking for 9 seeds to a foot, roughly. And,
that's pretty good.
Yeah. So I've got a monitor that tells me what's going on. So
did you used to do that by hand? Walk out there,
put your thumb
in the soil, drop in a seed, go on.
Only if I didn't pay attention and had a missed a furrow for a while.
Oh.
Then you got to go back out and plant that in so the neighbors don't talk about you.
Yeah. Do you occasionally miss a furrow?
Not anymore. Technology is getting very well.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, Tim, are you going to enter this contest, longest listener? Have you been listening for a while?
Oh, I've been listening for, a long time. I would almost guess since you started. One of my memories is someone asking you if you were the teacher that had a couch in your room.
Oh, yeah.
Way back when.
Yeah.
we found you on WOI in Ames, and then we go from there to KMSU in Mankato. But I was on the ski patrol in Mankato.
You were.
And would schedule my rotations so that I would come in by 11 o'clock and sit and listen to you and then go back out after the show is done and ski again.
Yeah. Well, so, that's pretty impressive or sad. I don't know. It's kind of now I kind of worry about you, you know.
Well, no. Well, yeah. Everyone kind of knew. I also listened to the Car Talk guys.
Oh, that's okay.
So I got my 2 hours in and then went back out and played.
Yeah. So did you farm in all these different places?
No, you can't move a farm.
I'm sorry, what?
So you can't move a farm.
No, I was wondering about that, if you got on the back of it. Because some of those guys you see on the highway, it looks like they got a farm on the back there, and they're hauling it around, you know, maybe to Ames or Mankato or something like that.
No.
It's hard to pass a farm on a two-lane road, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Making a living.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for listening. And, if you could put this on paper or something and put your name on there and stuff and send it in, there's a good chance we could fly you all the way from Garden City, Minnesota.
Well, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
I've missed all your traveling shows that when you came to, like, Northfield and that.
Yeah.
Because you come in the spring and I'm out playing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or as I tell my wife, I'm driving circles in the field.
Yeah. You got, okay, don't you have kids that can do that or something, Tim?
I have one, but yeah. I'm not old enough to retire, and so he's working his way and helping out.
Yeah. Well, maybe you could take a Saturday off, you know, and let him plow a furrow, for God's sake.
I'd rather pass that the boring stuff off, but yeah. The planting is enjoyable.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
5.5 miles across the fields. I mean, you're not racing.
If it was up to you right now, Tim, I'd fly in here right this minute. I wouldn't pay for it necessarily, but I would find some way of doing it. But so you could just send in even a postcard or something, maybe a name and then story on there, and then send it to us, okay, so we can consider
sure.
you.
Yes, I will.
Just to be fair.
I will.
Okay.
I can't do it out here right now.
No, I don't understand that. And I bet you missed a furrow or two while thinking about that.
I don't even want to look back right now and see what it looks like.
Good. So how's your soil? Is it not too wet out there, is it?
No. Yeah. Well, we've been dry, and this spring has been absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
The ground has worked up the best it's ever worked up,
yeah.
And it's been fun.
Now you just need prices to show up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Good luck.
So, thanks very much.
Thanks, Tim.
Yep. Bye.
Bye. Well, that's Tim there in Garden City, Minnesota, and he's a great guy, too. That's a lot of all time, you think, we have for reading these?
You want me to read another one?
Yeah, read one more.
I'll read one more. Yeah. This is from Scott Teplin. He lives in Brooklyn now, but he's originally from Mequon.
Yeah.
And he said, I listened to you when I was in high school in my dad's car on weekends when your show first started. I lived in Mequon then. And then I was in college in Madison in about 1993. I was in your audience, and you talked to me on the air at Vilas Hall.
Hmm.
I told you I was a part-time proctologist.
Part-time. That's
part-time,
suspicious.
Yeah, because I proctored national exams.
Oh.
MCAT, LSAT, stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Part-time is a job. And I also had leopard spots bleached into my hair.
Ah, I think
so
I remember that.
That's a good one, isn't it?
That stands out, a part-time proctologist with leopard spots.
He probably doesn't have the leopard spots anymore.
Can't change the spots on a part-time proctologist. I'll read one more, too. So let's see here. Okay, here, I'll just read this one. If you still want to call in, I think there's a few minutes yet. You can call in. What's that number again?
The number is 1-800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WAC-NOW.
Yeah.
With a K.
Right. Rick Catron, looks like, from Silverdale, Washington. Alas, my local station doesn't air What Do You Know, but as a longtime listener, I get you on the web. In 1988, I needed a job and moved from my Northern California home to Orange County. What a culture shock. I would get away on long weekends, and my favorite place to go was Flagstaff, Arizona, as part of my graduate school research on the Southern Pacific Railroad. There I stayed at the Weatherford Hotel, where the Zane Grey novels were written, and explored beautiful downtown Flagstaff with its handsome red sandstone buildings. A popular downtown hangout was the old-time McGaw's newsstand, which sold and smelled of tobacco products, 4,000 magazines, and broadcast the local NPR affiliate, KNAU. This was my first public radio experience. Back in Southern California, I quickly found KPCC, became a member. Your show aired on KPCC at that time. I get a lot of that. When I moved to Portland, Oregon in 1998, I became a member of OPB 91.5, listened to your show for years, and it was broadcast there, along with Riders in the Sky radio show. I miss those days. Radio may have become more informative over the years, but it's lost its entertainment programming. Moving once again to Washington's Olympic Peninsula in 2012, I now listen to a wider variety of public radio broadcasting, this time primarily on the computer. I remain loyal to OPB and have since discovered Northwest Public Radio, which has transponders all over Washington and podcasts.
I'm sorry. I used to work there. So.
You got a little excited about
yeah.
it. Yeah. I heard you gasp. Oh, you worked there, really? Yeah?
Yeah,
cool.
I did.
I can now listen whenever I want. I may not be your longest listener, but I am definitely a long-time listener and have stalked you over four western states. I appreciate the humor, news, authors, guests, and the quiz each week. If I've learned anything from Michael, I know the difference between NPR and PRI. Right. One day soon, I hope to make it back to Madison to see your show live. Thanks for the memories. There, it's Rick Ketron in Silverdale, Washington. I think that's about all the time we have now for the longest listener, but get those entries in. And can you have the email address if they want to send it on an email?
Yes.
You have that, don't you?
I do have that.
Yeah, you have it there with you?
And that would be...
Right in front of you there?
Sure. Yeah, it's right in front of you. Actually, it's better to send them through the mail, the regular mail.
Yeah.
That would be 820...
Why would you do that? No one uses mail anymore.
Nobody uses mail anymore. No. Okay. Well, then we'll do the regular email address.
Yeah, the email address which you have right there in front of you.
Yeah, that email address is right in front of me, exactly right
here. As an announcer, you would have it right in front of you.
It's somewhere.
Right, yeah. And, of course, as being part of the staff of Wisconsin Public Radio, you would know that in a second.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. Normally I would. Normally it would be here in my notes, but
okay.
But it's not. So what would that be, Michael? Do you know what it is?
Why? That's not my job.
Oh, that's true.
I'm doing my job. Can you see that?
I'm obviously not doing mine very well.
No, you're doing very well.
Oh, wait, no, it's you can send it to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org.
Wow. Why wouldn't you be able to think of that? I mean, that's you work at wpr.org.
You put me in my spot. Or put me
on my spot.
The
name of the show is What Do You Know?
The name of the show is What Do You Know? What Do You Know? One word.
Yeah.
At WPR.org.
With a D.
With a D.
Okay. Yeah. Or go to notmuch.com and it has everything on there and the rules.
Yeah. Or if you wanted to mail it, you could send it to 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706.
How much is postage nowadays? You know that?
I honestly don't know.
How much is a stamp?
How much is a stamp?
They just put forever on there, so they don't want you to know how much you're paying for a stamp.
It's forever.
Last I remember, it was like 47 cents. Was that a long time ago? What? It's 48 now? Oh, my God. 49 cents. For a stamp? For a letter? What's a postcard? 50 cents? Penny postcard? 50 cents? What? You knew I would get upset about that, and you just blurted out that. 84 cents. It's not. Anyone send a penny postcard lately? Come on. No one?
Nobody's clapping.
People just send junk mail nowadays. That's the way it is. Well, I could stand a little tune here.
Okay.
Couldn't you?
Yeah, I could stand it.
I could stand one of your tunes right now.
Should I stand and play it or just play it?
Why don't you? Like Little Richard really went a lot farther than you have so far.
No, I used to do that. I don't
standing
do that.
Up. Did you ever stand on the piano and play on down?
Just to play with my feet a little bit.
It sounds that way.
But now I play with my hands.
Hey, Jeff.
It's much better.
Looking good, man.
What's that?
Looking good, man.
Thank you, you too.
I think you got to roll up them short sleeves a little bit. Put a pack of Luckies in there. In fact, I put a pack on each side so that people know where you stand.
He doesn't want the Born to Lose tattoos to be seen.
Born to Lose. I've lived my life in pain. So what's this song going to be then?
What a difference a day makes.
It sure does.
Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Thank you for that, Arnold. Let's see now. Sandy Ansager? Ansager? Ansager. What?
Ansager.
I say it's Ansager. Well, I guess you didn't. Sandy Ansager. Have you considered a body cam for your radio show? Good idea. Excellent idea, I think. Jake Schreiner. Is this the guy who follows me on Twitter?
You bet.
You're like the only guy who follows me on Twitter. You're the only guy who retweets me. I got to meet you just to see why that might be. Yeah. Are you on Twitter a lot?
Once in a while.
Oh, yeah? Do you, I did I follow you? I should follow you. You know, the courtesy is, thank you. I don't mean to make you get up.
Might as well.
What is that on your shirt there?
Ghosts. Do you believe in ghosts?
Oklahoma ghosts? Ghosts?
Kaukauna ghosts.
Oh, Kaukauna. I thought it said Oklahoma. I tell you, my eyes. I just got these new progressive lenses, you know, so my eyes are always out of focus at any distance. You know, for some reason. Do you have those?
Yes.
Are you happy with them?
Sure, they're fine.
Am I in focus to you now? You look, because you're looking up at me. Is that your long view?
I don't know. You look good.
Follow my finger. Follow my thumb. Let's put it that way. All right, you following my thumb? Don't move your head. Is it in focus?
Well, maybe not.
Thank you. What was I saying about?
You just asked about ghosts.
Yeah, what are the ghosts?
Kaukauna ghosts.
Okay, you what? Come on.
Kaukauna High School is a galloping ghost.
Oh, I didn't know. I had no idea. Kaukauna High School. Are you on? You on the faculty or?
No, I just substitute teach now.
Oh, you do.
Okay. Yes, and Kaukauna girls are ranked number one in the state softball.
Kaukauna girls, that fast. They're scary. They're scary good, huh?
They're very good.
Yeah. And your name is?
I'm Dick Bender.
Hey, Dick. Nice to meet you, Dick. And you're you know, bothering you was?
Bob Niggle.
Bob, sorry about that. Because I just got them, but you're happy with them, right?
Sure.
Because I feel like I'm always out of focus no matter what I'm looking at now.
Move your head around.
Oh, you got to move your head around. I do like my bobblehead. I got it because I have a bobblehead. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to come over to talk to you. Jake Schreiner, right? Stand up, Jake. Jake Schreiner, the only man who follows me, ladies and gentlemen. Without Jake, I would be nothing on Twitter.
Totally.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
What do you actually do in life?
I'm a long-term substitute teacher right now, and social studies, and I'm actually moving to Taiwan in July to teach over there.
Can you follow on Twitter in Taiwan? I don't know if you should do it.
I hope so. Yeah, I can.
You got that Great Wall of China, you know, firewall there.
Kind of. Across the Taiwan Strait there. But
you should be okay in Taiwan.
We're pretty good in Taiwan.
Yeah. Plus, I understand their internet service is great there.
That's what I heard. So.
Yeah. Gigabits of anywhere in the world, you know, but Taiwan and South Korea.
Well, yeah.
Unbelievable. You don't even need a phone to get internet. Or you don't even need internet to get internet. It actually comes in your house. It's like a dosage of internet.
Yeah,
so good.
Yeah.
What are you doing there?
I'm teaching. I'll be teaching social studies, high school level.
Wow, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And normally you're in Reedsburg, huh?
That's where I'm living right now. And teach in Baraboo right now.
How did you decide to make this big break here? Was it something I tweeted that turned you around?
Sorry, this one was not influenced by you. It was just something I've always wanted to do, something I think I need to do. It's my time right now. I'm young, nothing holding me back.
Really
so.
Cool. How young are you?
23.
Oh, yeah, boy, you are young.
I've got the whole world in front of me.
Yeah, well, that's all cool. Do you speak any Chinese at all? Or?
No, nah, not one.
A lot of English speaking.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, well, mainly English.
They probably pick up quite a bit there.
Hopefully. Yeah. It's pretty tough, though.
Good man. You're a good man.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, Jay.
Nice meeting you. See you on Twitter.
I'm going to follow you now.
Good.
Because you sound like really interesting. That you're much more interesting than I am, so I should. Okay, so I was getting donuts before the show, and these ladies were down there getting donuts as well, and they're staring at them a long time. I know it's a tough choice, but come on. Donut's a donut. This one is chocolate. That one's. Anyhow, so I'm looking at donuts. And so I was down there, and I might have said something to him, and I believe it was you. Yeah, just come down here. I don't want to step in any feet here. How are you?
I'm fine, Michael.
You brought, you got your water bottle in your backpack here. So. Can I get you to stand up? Just come on, stand up, say hello. And your name is?
I'm Michelle Chappell.
Michelle, it's very nice to meet you. Where are you from?
I'm from Altoona, Iowa, by Des Moines, Iowa.
Altoona?
Yes.
Altoona. We always applaud. Even if it's Altoona, we applaud it. That's our motto on this show. And how are you? Pretty good. Are you down here on a trip with friends? Or?
Yes, we're traveling, the three, four of us.
Yeah, and where are you going to?
We've been to the state capitol and to University of Wisconsin, and we're going to be here today, and then arboretums and botanical centers.
Did you see the cow with a porthole in its stomach?
No.
You may have to go back to the ag barn on campus there. Oh. You can't see much because it's dark inside there. You know. You always think, boy, there's a cow with a porthole in its stomach. I'm going to see that first thing. But you look in there, and there's no light in there. You know, they should have put a light in his stomach as well.
I heard about this on NPR, though.
Yeah.
And they go test the stuff in his stomach?
Yeah.
The E. coli and whatever.
They put anything in there. They put a salami sandwich in there one day. They'd be like, oh, I digest that after a while.
Yeah.
But they have so many stomachs, though, they don't miss one.
Right.
But anyhow, so we're down there looking at the donuts, and I must have said, and you came up to me and said, are you the host of the show?
Yes, I did, but I called you the wrong name. I said Peter Sagal instead of...
Well, that's okay.
Oops. I'm sorry, but yeah.
I think I called you Miriam when I first saw you.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay. It was good, though. I actually enjoyed it. I do get that once in a while. I'm only hoping that he gets Michael Feldman at his donut table.
Next time, I will call him Michael Feldman.
You promise me?
I do.
Thank you, dear, very much. Very nice to meet you. Thanks for coming. Nice to see you all. You may sit down now, but you can't bring water into the auditorium. I'm going to have to confiscate your bottle. If that is water, indeed.
I'm not telling.
All right, we got... Oh, what?
What? Is it too soon?
Okay, all right. I guess that means it's time to do the quiz now, huh?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Close.
Okay.
Maybe.
So we're going to have to know who can and cannot participate in the quiz. To that end, we need to... If you, sir, will take the four disclaimers, go to that aisle, and I will step on all these toes here, and I'll meet you there. Okay? Find out who can and cannot participate in the quiz. Did you get the picture? Did you want to get us together? Did you get us together? We should get us together. Proof that.
My friend Michael. Michael and Michelle.
You got it? Thanks for coming. Let's see Peter Sagal do all that for you. If he hugs you, I will give you your money back. Okay. You're holding your hat there like it's a trophy or something. What is it? What is that? It looks like a good one. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum.
Yes.
Cleveland. Cool. Okay. All right. Glad we had this chat. We have to know Ken and the man with the Cuba shirt is down there. A Cuba or Cubs shirt. We haven't seen it up close, really. And, you know, I saw the Cuba team. Must have been maybe the Olympics or something like that. And it looked like just like the Cubs jersey, but it was an A instead of an S.
Go Cuba.
Go Cuba. And your name is?
Mike Rodriguez.
Mike, how are you?
Good.
Good.
Sure. The four disclaimers. All questions used on what you know have been painstakingly researched through the answers have not ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded. I'm trying to get it.
Okay. You gotta get the angle, I'm telling you.
Poorly rooted questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own show. Number two, thinking about the trade mission to Cuba.
You can say Cuba, you want
to do that. Sorry, I got Cuba in my head.
That's good.
Bermuda. All right. Persons employed by International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone trying to...
First time you read this, huh?
Right. Trying to up the office phones, trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit down on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Yeah.
Last one,
thank God. All opinions expressed by what you know are well-reasoned and insightful.
I'm laughing with you.
Needless to say, they're not those of the International House of Radio, its membership stations, and lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Hold on. Take that with you. Show it to the traffic cop. I'll have that notarized for the traffic guy. Just show that to him on the way out. See what you get. Okay. That means that someone here now is ready to play the What Do You Know quiz. I have that feeling. It's usually one individual for every crowd or so. I would have to say it's you, even though you sat as far back as you could to get away from me. I'm not just saying that because no one else really raised their hand or showed any indication of interest in whatever I'm doing. There you go. Oh, boy, you're in shape, too. Do you run?
Yes, I do. I'm a triathlete.
You're a triathlete? Which ones have you tried so far?
All of them.
Your name is?
Chris.
Chris? Are you from around here?
No, I'm from Bellingham, Washington.
Oh, Bellingham. Very athletic part of the country, I think. Chris, one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I took 3 planes, a rental car, got lost, and had to stop for a train to get here.
Best reason ever. Rental car, train. Come on up this way here. Be careful on this thing. This is like Bellingham here, I think. Yeah.
This is, she wanted to
know.
It's an ostrich, right?
It's an emu, I think, technically.
Well, it's an emu, Mom.
It's a stuffed animal. What it is. It's a stuffed, nameless animal.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. With a K?
C-H.
C-H. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. From Bellingham?
Bellingham.
What do you do for a way of life out there?
I'm a grant manager at Bellingham Technical College.
Oh, you are? Cool.
Yeah.
What sort of grants could I get out there?
Anything.
Really?
Yeah. Department of Education, Department of Labor, Paul Allen, anything you want.
Paul Allen pays
Paul
for it
Allen,
all?
Paul Allen, Uncle Paul, that's how I call him.
Wow. Yeah. It's better than Uncle Max.
I know.
Uncle Max was good for a nickel.
Yeah.
For Uncle Hershey Paul's Bar. Good. That's all Hershey Bar was in those days, though. But
yeah,
still.
Things have changed since then.
Paul Allen, wow. So yeah. What is Bellingham known for in terms of this?
It's right on the ocean. It's beautiful and wonderful. There's several colleges there, Western Washington University. Yeah. Bellingham Technical College. My husband, right out there, yay, teaches at Whatcom Community College. And
so you're all on the dole here. All on
we
the Paul
are.
Allen dole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's great. It's beautiful.
Are your kids all named after Paul Allen? Either Paul or Allen?
We're happily child-free.
Yeah.
Yeah. By choice.
Good.
By choice.
That's good,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, exactly.
I could see that might have worked out that way.
I know. It's easier. It's cheaper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a triathlete, do you run in those things?
Run, bike, swim. Or run. Swim, bike, run, actually,
yeah.
in that order.
Does your husband as well?
Yes, he just started last year with me. I'm a little ahead of him. He's much more athletic.
Does he bike when you run and swim when you bike?
We do it all at the same. He's super fast, though. I'm really slow.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But you've got stamina.
Stamina, it's what it takes. Just stamina and a smile.
Stamina and a smile, the two things I don't have, which is why I'm not a triathlete. I'm a zero athlete, I guess. That's the latest count, anyhow.
Yeah, and
we're
missing our biggest bike ride of the our training right now, so we're here instead.
All right. Well, you're on the quiz. We got to get to
it. I'm on the quiz. That's what counts.
How does she play the quiz, then?
Yeah, if people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up the phone, dial 800-942-5669, also known as 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WACK-NOW. That's 800-942-5669, and answer this qualifying question.
Okay. There's one guy on there, so let's see. Hey, Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
What's the answer?
Ron,
we can do this.
I know you called in for a reason. You give me the answer, and I'll give you the question. Oh, here it is.
Okay.
Percentage of people who believe in a soulmate. We want a percentage within about what? How many percentage points?
Percentage of people within 50%.
Whatever it takes. Huh?
Yeah. Okay.
What? Believe in the concept of a soulmate, that everyone has a soulmate, not a so-so mate.
23%.
Is that your final answer?
Because
no one else is calling, I noticed.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Let me rephrase the question now. A percentage of people who honestly believe in a soulmate.
Percentage of people that believe in a soulmate.
Yeah. And you say?
I said 33.
Oh, okay. Get out of here, Ron. Talk to you another time. You're breaking my heart. Eric is in the Chichimunga. Is that possible, Eric? Eric?
I think we lost it.
Chichimunga.
I'm sorry, Chichimunga?
Chickamauga, the Civil War battle.
Of course I knew that. Eric, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. The percentage of people who believe in a soulmate.
Ooh. 10?
What?
10.
You're killing me here, Eric. Surprisingly high number of people who believe in a soulmate. Want to try it again? Surprisingly
three.
High. What?
Three.
Oh, you're breaking my heart. Breaking my heart. Nancy in Erie, Kansas. Tell me, Nancy, you believe in a soulmate, don't you?
Oh, yes.
Okay. You think I could be yours?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Okay. You never know, though.
You don't ever know.
You don't ever know.
No.
But if you don't never know, then it's a positive.
It is. Yes, this is correct.
I don't know. I feel something about you, Nancy. I'm not sure what it is. Could be these pills I'm taking.
So you want a percentage of people who believe in soulmates?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. You believe in soulmates. Surprisingly high. Very, quite high. Pretty darn high.
Surprisingly high.
Yeah, go ahead.
53%.
Close enough. 69%.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Congratulations, Nancy in Erie, Kansas. Nancy, this is Chris.
Nancy, hi, Nancy.
Chris, say hello to each other.
Hi. How are you?
Okay.
I'm great.
Good. And
how
then let's have the categories in, shall
is this
we,
a
Arnold?
One-question quiz?
Yeah, it's going to go
I think
quick.
It is. The categories are current events, people, yeah. Places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Okay, Nancy, you pick it.
I'll pick science.
Science it is, for all the beans. If you are the sun, where are you the hottest? Is it your corona, your surface, or back here?
Your corona?
Your corona? That's right. Exactly.
Yay,
right.
Woo!
Holy cow. How did you do it? You made something from nothing.
Yes. And Chris, you've won award-winning gourmet mustard, all-natural, gluten-free, low-sodium, and kosher from the Mustard Grill in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Yes, and Nancy, you'll start every morning with a What Do You Know quiz winner with Steep & Brew's Breakfast Blend Coffee and Banish Afternoon Cares, drinking rich and smooth Costa Rican tarasu from Madison's Steep & Brew Coffee. We know beans about coffee. And each of you can tackle spring cleaning with a crack spackle gift bucket from the Duluth Trading Company, including a certificate for a genuine plumber's butt t-shirt. And imagine a springtime in Paris listening to the plumber's CD button. What Do You Know About Chopin with achingly romantic liner notes by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records.
Good.
Celebrate three decades of... Oh, I'm sorry. Congratulations to both of you.
Congratulations.
Woo! Thank you,
that
Michael.
Was easy. Easy work.
I'm
thank you very much, Chris. We'll get your stuff while you're here. And Nancy, hang out. Make sure you get that. Bye.
Okay.
And you can celebrate three decades of your favorite public radio quiz show with a 30th anniversary...
What
are you looking at me like that for? That's interesting.
That's the way you look.
Yes, a 30th anniversary tee designed by Michael Feldman. Click over to notmuch.com to order yours today.
Before.
Hey, Feldman fans, catch a live What Do You Know show all throughout May. Guests include Wisconsin foodie Kyle Cherrick and Madison band Dolores. For a full schedule and ticket information, go to notmuch.com.
Well done.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
Yeah, you can take the suit off the guy, but you can't take the guy out of the suit. That's like Arnold there. Thank you very much. You did a great job. Yeah, we can go back to your seat now and get all that stuff to you. Your husband looks lonely. He's not used to being without you this long. All right!
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, and I'm Mike Arnold. In this hour of What Do You Know, it's our Town of the Week, plus thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now the man who says spring when robins poop magnolias, it's Michael Feldman.
Yeah, 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 yeah. You know, we You know, each week at this time, we have memos. That's right, it's time for thanks for the memos. This is, I didn't understand this at all. But so, all right. Hometown, Rushford, Minnesota, now in San Miguel del Allende, Mexico, local station WPR. Okay, this is a news headline, apparently. Read this headliner carefully. Someone wrote it wrong. I doubt seriously that many homeless would know what Les Miserables is, much less be going to see it. Four Swedish police officers riding on New York City's 6 train had to go back to work briefly in order to subdue 2 men who were fighting. While on their way to watch Les Miserables, 2 homeless men started fighting on an uptown 6 train in the middle of rush hour. Okay, that's why we're not using that one. It's possible. Here it is. It comes from, please don't use agency or director's name if you use this, okay? Okay. I will tell you that's West Palm Beach. That's okay to say that, isn't it?
What about the initials?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not a good idea.
It's an agency.
Okay.
After careful review of expenses for our fiscal year that just closed, I discovered that we spent way, way too much on K-cup coffee. We spent an astounding caps. Only use caps if it's really astounding, right? You're back. Okay, good. Cool. Yes, fine. Go ahead. That was quick. That was quick. It was very quick. We spent an astounding amount on coffee. Therefore, it is with heavy heart and an empty mug that I inform you that we have made our last coffee purchase ever.
Ooh.
The coffee brewers that we have will stay in place, but once the K-cups in the cupboard are gone, it's over. Sigh. No one will miss this perk more than I do. Signed, executive director of something somewhere. Well, okay, there you have it. That's the memo. It's not much. That's kind of a downer, so I'll read this bathroom memo. We get a lot of bathroom memos. It's rather typical. To all staff, bad bathroom habits. Folks, don't ever, by the way, if you are writing a memo, don't ever start out, folks. Don't be folksy with your memos. People, you can say that, you know. Folks, the bathroom is getting a little out of control. Please leave the toilet in a condition that's respectful of your coworkers. Well, that depends how you feel about your coworkers, doesn't it? That gives a lot of latitude for the toilet, if you ask me. To this individual, it means flushing it and checking that the seat is clean. I know everyone is busy, but if you're so busy you can't do those things, then you need to reevaluate your life. See, yeah, that's overkill. Not your life, maybe your bathroom habits. There are also dishes piling up again.
In the bathroom?
Folks. Yeah, I don't know if they're in the bathroom. So, in some places, you probably have to. I'm pretty sure that the recent explosion of plastic containers are the love children of the water bottle and oatmeal-crusted blue bowl that have been in there for weeks. That was a pretty good sentence, anyway. A for writing, and maybe a C for content. Stylistically, it was good. Either put your dishes away, even if they're a little damp, or keep them in your own office, even if it's a little cluttered. Let them languish in a pile on the damp bathroom counter is the worst of both worlds. So it is in the bathroom. The dishes are piled up in the bathroom. Thanks for observing that.
Sorry. I'm just following along.
Thank you. Okay, there you have it. Those are all the memos you're going to get today. And some of them are pretty good. Where can they send the memos?
I'm sorry. I'm still laughing about the bathroom. Anyway, well, they can send those memos to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org, subject line memos, or go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Okay. And here now, I have just a little bit here, and all the news that is from around here, this is actual news as opposed to my usual stuff. And so it's both from around here. In fact, it's both from Green Bay. First is the leechnado. They found a leechnado in Green Bay. Leechnado, you know, like the Sharknado? Leechnado in Green Bay. Let's read more, shall we? The Sharknado is a B-rated science fiction film, but this is the real thing, Leechnado. It's right here in Green Bay. In case you are in Green Bay, it would be right here in Green Bay. Shedd Aquarium Research captured a video. You can see this online, by the way. Just look for Leechnado online, Green Bay. Of the mysterious and massive swarm of 5 to 7 inch long leeches in a pool of water near the Bay of Green Bay earlier this month. There's a video of it. I could watch it for hours. They put it on a loop, and it's like, wow. Fish ecologist Solomon David hasn't yet identified this particular species of leech. He has commissioned the help of Leech Guy, also known as the Museum of Natural History researcher Mark Siddall, to help him out. They think this underwater dweller isn't a bloodsucker, but a predator that eats aquatic invertebrates. Well, that's much better than being a bloodsucker. He eats the whole thing. meaning bugs, David said. David recorded the leeches using a GoPro camera. Another use for a GoPro. You always think, you know, I'm not going to use it. What am I going to need a GoPro for? Stick it in the leech pond.
The leech NATO. Yeah.
It could be a leech NATO near you. A sluice pond. Find a sluice pond if there's one near you and stick your GoPro in there. Please. Okay. Leech swarms aren't unheard of, but they're rare. You found the swarm by deploying a matchbox-sized temperature logger in an agricultural ditch near the Bay of Green Bay. The ditch connected to a nearby wetland. I got to the edge of the water. I like this part. And I see these things wiggling around. Sure enough, they're leeches. There were just leeches everywhere. I've never seen an aggregation of leeches like that. And he's a professional, ladies and gentlemen. In David's video, the camera submerges underwater to reveal hundreds, if not thousands, of long, flat leeches dancing around in a shallow pool. It looked like they were actually doing something like swarming, you know, like actually making shapes, like birds sometimes do, you know.
A swarm
of leeches. They do that on purpose. It's not an accident that they make a shape like that. In David's video, he posted the video on YouTube a few days later and titled it Leechnado, which is a nod to the 2013 horror film about killer sharks and tornadoes. All right, maybe not as great as Sharknado, but it's Green Bay. Come on. Leechnado. That's around here. And also this, not quite related, Green Bay Packer fans near the top of the NFL in grammar and spelling. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Do we have Green Bay people here? Anyone here from Green Bay or around there anywhere? Ashwaubenon? That's close, Appleton. It's not Green Bay, though, is it? Okay. Jeff Foster of the Wall Street Journal's The Count sports column took 150 reader comments over 50 words long, which appeared on the NFL.com news articles, ran them past Grammarly, which uses algorithms to check text, spelling, grammar, and punctuation errors. The result? A ranking of NFL teams by their fans' writing skills. Long overdue, I think. Averaging just 5.1 mistakes per 100 words, Green Bay Packer fans came in second. To Detroit? I would never have read this if I'd known it came out then. Which only averaged 4.2 mistakes. Wow. No kidding.
Who was last?
Okay, worse than the NFL. Thank you for asking. Worse in the NFL by far, with atrocious 16.5 mistakes per 100 words, were fans of the team from Washington, D.C. that we can't even say is the Redskins. That's the way things are so bad. They don't want to even say that. The quick conclusion might be that the fans' base's general mood contributes heavily to its knack for errors, but that wasn't the case. Fans of perennial title contending New England averaged 11.6 mistakes, fourth worst. Okay, well, I feel somewhat better about the season now. Okay. Still pretty good, though, only 5 mistakes. Did we mention where they can send all this? We didn't you? Send all our stuff.
Any stuff? Anything that would be to what do you know it, yeah. at WPR.org. Okay. You want to know the actual address, the real address?
No, give me a fake address and then...
No, I'll give you a real address. It's 821 University Avenue. We want to bring back snail mail.
Why do we?
Because there could be a snail NATO. And we could have our GoPro camera.
You know, you're
and
getting a little too comfortable in this job. Time to go back to middle management.
Yeah, right. Probably a good idea. Okay, uh-huh. 821 University
and
Avenue.
And not even say what you're thinking then.
Madison, Wisconsin, 53706.
Okay. Well, you know, each week at this time, we honor a town, a village... piano player. across the U.S. in a rearranged map of the same. Here with our town of the week is our very own Arnold.
Okay. Located about 90 miles southwest of Nashville, Linden, Tennessee is the county seat of Perry County, named Linden. After the War of 1812 naval hero Oliver Hazard Perry.
Oh, yeah.
Incorporated in 1850, Linden is near the banks of the Tennessee River and home to the Mousetail Landing State Park. Wow. Dedicated in 1986, the park was named after the prominent 1800s river village that featured tan goods as a major commodity. Those cowhides apparently attracted large numbers of mice.
Oh.
The park offers nearly 1,300 acres of space to hike, fish, boat, or explore the archaeological ruins. Huh. Linden currently has a population of...
What sort of ruins are there?
Archaeological ones. Linden currently...
I mean, of what?
I don't know. I guess stuff that they used
Did
to
Did you
have
do this
there.
Research yourself?
No, I just got this in the mail.
From now on, I'd like you to do
email.
The research so you can... If I have questions, or if anyone has a question, you'll be able to.
I will be able to answer them. Archaeological ruins are there. Linden currently has
a
population.
Oh, that means it's something really, really old.
It is something very. There's a lot of old stuff there in Tennessee. Linden currently has a population of nearly 1,000, but that might increase shortly with the addition of a new $23 million automotive parts plant. Furthermore, Linden has just selected as one of 12 state communities to be featured in Tennessee Downtowns, a program to revitalize historic commercial districts in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. If you're in Linden in the next few days, you can enjoy the Battle of Beardstown and the burning of the Courthouse Civil War reenactment. Or if that's not your thing, you can enjoy the Buffalo River Spring Fest in nearby Lowellville. Linden also boasts several historical sites, including the Cedar Grove Iron Furnace, one of the last remaining double-stack charcoal furnaces around. It was one of the earliest in the state to revolutionize the hot blast iron smelting technique in the late 1820s.
What is that technique exactly?
It's basically a coal-fired hot smelting technique that they use in Tennessee. Yeah,
you could just say I have no idea.
No, I'd prefer not to do that. So I've been doing a lot of research on this place, so I want to sound like an expert. Former Boston.
Is there a coal smelting process? I don't think so.
It's a coal smelting. They
but
use
coal. This is a hot smelting.
No, they use coal, charcoal, to do that. Yeah, oh. You know, it's like Kingsford or something like that. They throw it in there.
Just finish, will you?
Former Boston Celtic Bob Harris is a native, and during the year, locals root on Perry County Vikings. That's our town of the week, Linden, Tennessee.
Perry County Vikings. Bob Harris. Celtic. I think I got all that. You're talking kind of fast, and I got most of it. We're calling randomly right now, aren't we, Lyle? Lyle, do you call randomly? Really, like I always thought you did. You used to call randomly, didn't you? Try your microphone once. Try talking into it. See that thing, the microphone that you never talk into? I see. That's why it's not working. Can you turn his mic on the board there?
They don't even plug it in.
Try again.
First, we always call
there.
Yeah. I mean, how do you do it randomly? Because you don't have any numbers, do you?
Oh, sure. We have whitepages.com.
You do?
Of course. Doesn't everyone?
How come you always look for Feldman's then, and wherever you are? Like, is there going to be a Feldman?
Those are the old days.
Could you find a Feldman in Linden, Tennessee? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
How about some Arnold's?
So, yeah, Arnold's would be good too. A lot of Arnold's. So, how did you do it then?
What? what was the question?
Did you find a number?
Yes, found a number, and we have.
But I'm curious what the process is.
Very scientific.
Yeah. Well, how? Like?
It's the, you know, old point and I forgot what the other word is.
Point and sniff?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. Thank you. And we got, Matt, you got some here. Matt Votag in Linden, Tennessee. He's online with us for our Town of the Week, Linden, Tennessee. Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Is this a busy moment here for you? Can we take a few minutes?
No, absolutely not. I'm just now taking a break from a little bit of yard work. So.
Yeah? What are you doing out there?
Doing some weed eating and some pulling out some old dead stumps and stuff like that.
You got a weed whacker?
Actually, I do. I got a brand new electric one trying to go green.
Yeah? I'm not sure that's it, though. You could just get a scythe and go green.
No. I've tried that. I've got a little bit too much of yard to deal with that.
Really? But if you get really mad at it, you can go through there in a hurry.
you can get mad at it with a weed whacker with what I've got.
Which model did you get of the weed whacker? Is that which one?
It's a new DeWalt, brand new this year, so I thought I'd try it out.
Yeah, what's the number on it, though?
Don't really know.
No.
I've got it over on the charger now. I done run it dry on power, so it's recharging for the for the riverbank here behind my house.
You got a riverbank? You're on a river?
Yes, sir.
Which river is it?
It's the Buffalo River.
The Buffalo River?
It's one of the few rivers in the United States that runs from south to north.
Oh, yeah, really, huh?
Yeah.
Even in Tennessee, it's running towards the north. That's amazing.
That's and leave it to me. I'm one of those Yankees that moved down here, so.
Well, at least you picked
I'll use that as a joke from now on. That's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. So if you were going south, you'd be heading north.
There you go.
Basically, right?
That's it.
Yeah, on the river, anyhow. Well, that's interesting. What do you do down there, Matt?
I'm actually the director of the Chamber of Commerce down here.
Oh, you are? You're the right man to call in.
Yeah, yeah.
For example, you could tell us what those archaeological ruins are of.
Yeah, they had actually gone through, they were doing the archaeological studies on a new bridge that was getting put in over the Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
And they have to do their archaeological studies. And when they started digging through there, they started finding old tools and stuff like that. And they found some relics from way, 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 way back. They suspect
how far is that? Way, way, way back. Is that?
I'd be lying if I told you for certain on the dates, but he said that it was a pretty significant find. It was one that could probably get featured in a National Geographic if they were to submit it. It was pretty old stuff.
Yeah, old stuff, old tools.
Yeah, old tools and stuff like that. I don't know that they found any grave sites or anything like that, but it was still a significant, you know, camp areas because it was there right there on the riverbanks.
Yeah. Did they find an ads?
Find any what?
Ads.
Ads?
Find an ads?
No, I don't believe that.
Because I don't think we have those anymore. That would make it pretty old. An ads turned up. ADZ, you know?
Oh, I guess.
Very cool. All right, so that's what those are. But did they know what the site was?
I'm sure they do. I don't have as much detailed information on it, but I know that they had brought a couple of the items around whenever they were trying to get an archaeological society started up here. Because arrowhead collecting is a pretty big hobby around here, mm-hmm. with as many rivers that we've got coming through here in creeks. Mm-hmm. Perry County is known in the mid Tennessee area as having a lot of tributary creeks going into the Buffalo that goes into the Tennessee River, which is why usually when people find out that you're from Perry County, they ask you what creek you live on.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. And are there fish in that river as well, or just arrowheads? And stuff?
Oh yeah, but a lot of smallmouth bass. And,
oh yeah, really?
Matter of fact, right behind my house, one of my neighbors pulled out a 23-inch smallmouth about 4 or 5 years ago.
Really? What was he doing behind your house? Is what I want to know.
He's fishing.
Okay, that's what he says he was doing. He probably brought the fish with him. Is what I'm thinking.
Oh yeah.
So you could open your window and just cast right out your bedroom window, probably.
It's a little far from the bedroom window, but I've got a deck that I could probably cast off of if I was really good and could aim between the trees.
Yeah. Well, you should be by now. If you're on the deck enough, you should have that one down, I would think, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. That's very cool. Okay, and then now let's talk up Linden, Tennessee, your Chamber of Commerce. We come down to Linden. I know there's a battle of Beardstown.
Yeah, Battle of Beardstown. Yeah. That was it happened on May 7th, I believe it was. We had the 150th anniversary last year,
mm-hmm.
and it was one of the first, it's the first documented, I've heard that there was others, but it was one of the first documented amphibious landings in the Civil War.
Okay.
They had actually landed on the Tennessee River and had marched about, I guess that'd be 8 miles or so, into Linden and took the courthouse by surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And with a much smaller Yankee force, which kind of makes me proud being from Ohio, that they took it and was able to overtake the county there.
But when they do the reenactment, does the Union still win?
Yeah, but they make them out to be a little bit rougher and meaner than they than they probably were.
Well, it's a war, you know. It's a war.
Yeah. So they play it up. It probably would have been a fairly quick and boring reenactment if they did it absolutely historically, because it was kind of a surprise attack, and they were able to get them down. I think they only had 3 people got killed, and a lot of prisoners were taken. So it wouldn't necessarily be the big shoot 'em up that a lot of reenactments are. So they kind of fluff it up a little bit to make it more exciting.
Is this where they burned the Capitol?
They burned the courthouse. Matter of fact, Perry County had lost a lot of records because that's where the primary record keeping was done, was at the courthouse building. So they lost a lot of records in that fire. And they had rebuilt the courthouse, and then the courthouse burned down again. The courthouse has burned like 3 times. One time it was the Yankees' fault, though.
All right. That's good. Now, we come down there and we'll see. And that's where, in June or something?
No, it's actually next weekend.
Next weekend?
Yeah.
So this
is
very good timing, then.
Yeah, next weekend is the reenactment, and they have a little event all day long. They do a women's tea at the Commodore Hotel right across the street from the courthouse.
They make tea from women?
Tea? No, a women's tea where the women will get together and drink tea in their fancy Civil War era dresses.
Oh, I see. That's the way they used to do that.
Okay. And
that's better that way.
But yeah, they have that over there, and then they'll have little demonstrations of cannon fire and drill exercises and different things like that.
Yeah.
People can come in and look at the different relics that people have collected, and some people set up and sell, you know, replica items and you know, old style money, you know, replicas, you know, from stuff like that for souvenirs.
Sure. So it's a whole to do, as my mother would say.
Oh yeah, they really make it up, and then they have for the reenactors, they have a Confederate ball afterwards in our community center, and they have a band that comes in. I believe it's called the 5th Regimental Alabama 5th Regimental Civil War Band or something like that comes in and plays Civil War era music, and it's a really neat event.
Is there a conflicting Union ball as well, or?
Well, they don't have the Union ball. They just have the, and I don't know that it's necessarily called the Confederate ball. I think it was just called the reenactors ball.
Yeah, it's probably better that way.
But yeah, they'll and they have people come in and from all over the country to reenact. We end up having, I think last year we had 150 or 200 reenactors. We have horse mounted cavalry. We've got cannons. We've got people shooting out of the windows of the courthouse. I mean, it's a pretty neat event, you know, to see.
You have a horse mounted on the cavalry?
Horse mounted cavalry. They mount
the horse. Oh, yeah. Well, isn't that means horse in the word there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Matt, aren't you, how come, are you you a reenactor?
Cause, I am not.
Don't you want to prove your worth there, coming from Ohio and know all this?
Well, they told me that they would be glad to give me a blue jacket and a rifle, but I told them that I didn't want anyone having a chance to shoot at me.
Okay. Well, Matt, it's very nice to talk with you. Thank you. It sounds like a great, actually, event if you're into that kind of thing. Down there in Linden, Tennessee, our town of the week, we have a little something for you for being so nice.
Yes.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, we'll be sending you the best of the Badger State with an assortment of handcrafted, all-natural, artisanal cheeses from Southwest Wisconsin, Cedar Grove Cheese.
Very great. Thank you very much.
We're giving you the good cheese, Matt. Thanks very much. Hang on just a second. Make sure you get an address from me to mail that out. Thanks very much,
Matt. Thank you, sir. Great talking to you.
Bye. Okay, that's on hold there, hopefully, there, because I don't think you could pick him out in that same point-and-sniff method again if you had to find him. And if you have a town of the week, you be sure and tell us about it, but we got our own new one right here, don't we?
Oh, yeah, we have to throw out the dart.
Oh, yeah, the dart. So you got to, here's what you do then, Mike.
Am I supposed to do that?
We didn't rehearse this. Yeah, take the headphones off before you get up.
Okay.
I've done that, and that's very embarrassing. Because, you know, you got to yank them out or something. Yeah, just take the dart. Okay, that's okay. No, you don't throw it. You don't throw it. You go in the audience now, and you ask if someone would like to throw the dart to pick
somebody
the
want to throw the dart?
Stand on your head first.
Yeah. Come on.
Mike
up.
Was going to throw the dart. Isn't that embarrassing?
All right. Come on up
so
here.
So embarrassed for him.
And what's your name?
Usually a kid. We usually get a kid or something.
There are no kids here today.
No.
There's
come
no
on.
Kid.
No, it's fine.
You're
come
fine.
On up.
He was a kid once.
Yeah.
This
is my first time with the dart thing. Yeah. So,
get his
name. And your name?
Cherry Rickman.
All right. Are you a good dart thrower?
I can hit the board.
All right, well, when are you...
All right, but spin him around 3 times and have him close his eyes.
No spinning. No. Okay, just throw the dart. There you go.
Oh,
All right, let's see.
Linden, Tennessee. What are the odds on that?
All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Wait, we have something for you. We have an Ole Miss hat for you.
There you go, an Ole Miss hat.
Yeah, wear that if you're ever down there.
And and it looks like the town that we discovered is Ranger, Texas. So that's
Ranger,
next
Texas. Yeah, week for next week. Thank you very
Ranger,
much,
Texas.
Arnold. Nice job. Very well done. Seamless. In fact, you can applaud here. It just takes a little time, and I think of what we're doing next. Say, you're raring at the bit there, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
What's this tune?
This is the Latin side of What Do You Know, and this one's called Yesterday.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, Michael Feldman.
So you're saying on date night you go to Rocky Picture Horror Show? Horror Picture Show? What is that called, actually? Yeah, what is that called?
Rocky Horror Picture.
How do you know that, then, if you don't go all the time?
My son is a huge
fan. Wait a second. Okay, she's got a complaint here. I think we opened a can of worms. How are you doing? Pretty good? Sorry to make you. What? There. Can you get up and come over here? Because if I step on them, it's much worse than if you do. How are you?
I'm fine.
Your son is a what?
A huge fan. When he lived in Arizona, he went every Saturday night to it, and he dressed up.
What did he dress as?
He never told me.
Didn't you ever see him going out the door? Wasn't he dressed as something?
No, he was in Arizona at the time.
Oh, you were. Okay. What do you think he dressed as?
I would hate to even guess.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
And you never intend to?
Never.
Never? As long as you live?
As long as I live.
But you know, I mean, it's not a bad thing. It's just a camp sort of thing, you know. Like,
oh, yeah. It's just something.
Perfectly fine.
Oh, yeah. It's just that something I would go see.
It's not something you would go see? What would you, if you're going to see something, what would you go see? Repeatedly.
Repeatedly?
Yeah. Sound of Music.
No, probably something with Sam Elliott in it.
Oh, okay. Now I think we're getting somewhere. Sam Elliott. What did you see last with Sam Elliott in it?
You Know My Name.
Did you tell me your name? What is your name?
Mary.
Mary, okay. Yeah, what did you see last with Sam Elliott in it?
You Know My Name. I saw that last night. At
Mary.
Yeah.
Okay. Was that good? Which one is Sam? Who's Sam Elliott?
He's...
Sorry, I don't have this particular obsession.
He's usually in westerns. He's tall. He's got gray hair.
Is he the guy with the low voice?
Oh, yeah.
That guy. He's in everything now. He's in commercials and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. I really like him. He's very talented, and besides that, he's really sexy.
Is it the voice, or is it?
It's the whole package.
I'm sorry I talked to you. All right, Mary. You're worried about the kid. Huh? She's got the Sam Elliott obsession. Very nice to meet you, Mary. Thank you. That hat's been used.
Yes, it has.
Yeah. Well, what do you use that on? Is that on the road? Do you get that hat that dirty?
Head-on collision.
Head-on collision? You wearing that hat?
Yeah, it's the only thing left.
Oh, my God. So it's your good luck hat now.
Kind of.
Okay. Wow. That's a hard way to get a hat dirty. Date night. Did you say you've gone on a date night to the Rocky Horror Picture Show?
Well, I did in the past.
Okay. Well, what are you doing in the present is what I want to know. Excuse me, pardon. She did in the past, she said. You're just saying words now. You're not really making sentences.
Since I've been married, I've gone to the show, too, in Milwaukee at the Oriental Theater.
With your...
Yeah.
Stand up for a second, because so you see I'm not doing the voice, both voices or something like that. And you are?
Vicki Whalen.
Vicki, are you in Milwaukee now?
Right now I'm in Madison, but I do live in Milwaukee.
Okay. Got to watch out for you.
Yeah, you do.
You've heard that before.
No.
So, you haven't?
Come on.
Okay.
We probably haven't heard it. everyone else has heard it. Anyhow, so Vicky, what I'm saying is this. Is it a date night thing for you to do traditionally?
Not in a while, actually. Yeah. But we used to. Yeah, we used to.
For you, like what is a good date movie? That one or something else?
Oh, no, that wouldn't be a good date movie, really. So,
like a first date movie.
First date movie.
Where would I take you if things worked out my way?
Let's see. If we're going on a theme here, a Bradley Cooper movie.
I want to take you to see Bradley Cooper. I don't see what advantage there is in that for me.
Not
really.
There might not be any advantage for you.
But there wouldn't be anyway. Well, thank you very much. Bradley Cooper movie. Do I hear any more? Bradley Cooper, I can see that. Date night movie. Who?
Richard Gere? Yeah.
Richard Gere. He's old now.
Oh, but he's better.
He's got hair growing out of his ears now.
But his gray hair on his head is fantastic.
I know, but it's growing out of his ears now. For me, that's the cutoff on any actor.
I'll have to look at that.
Look really closer. You get digital. You get HD.
Yeah.
You can't watch him in HD anymore.
Okay.
He's your favorite, Richard Gere?
I do like him quite a bit.
What was the killer movie for you with Richard Gere in it?
Gosh.
When you sighed over.
Pretty Woman. He was quite good in that.
Yeah, so was what's her name?
What? Yeah, he had darker hair. But, anything.
You like him grayer than
yes,
you did?
I do. Yeah. I do much better. He's much
better. Not because you've got very nice, a beautiful shock of silver hair.
Yeah. No, I think he's much more sexy now with his gray hair.
What do you like best about Richard Gere? What's the first thing when Richard Gere appears on? What's the first thing you look at?
I like his eyes.
Really?
And I just think he is just a...
You look to see if they're open or what? Or my wife said I used to look to see if my eyes were open.
No, he's just a good-looking, confident man who doesn't have to...
He's an actor, that's why.
He doesn't overwhelm you with, here I am. He's just there, and I like him.
Yeah, I guess so. Is there even a close second to Richard Gere?
The moment?
Sam Elliott?
No. I like older actors. Cary Grant is one of my...
You like older dead guys?
Yeah, I do.
So it's either Richard Gere or an older dead guy.
Right. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
And your name is?
Jordy Jacobs.
Jordy Jacobs. Nice to meet you, Jordy. Pleasure. All right. Can we leave it at that? Who else? Huh? Paul Newman, yes. Yeah.
Paul Newman.
I like Paul Newman, too.
When he was younger.
What?
When he was younger.
When he was living, yes. Okay, I'm stuck in this aisle here. Okay, let's just do the show from here, and I don't want to step on you again. Okay, pardon me. You go to the movies a lot?
Not too much.
You ever go to like a couples movie? My wife will not go to the same movie that I will go to. Like none of the same movies.
No, same. I watch my movie at home.
You watch at home? Yes. So what do you watch at home?
It's
superheroes.
It's most likely it's Oscar winners.
Oscar winners?
Yes. I prefer this collection.
Birdsman.
Yeah. Last movie. So.
Which one?
Birdsman. Birdsman.
Bird? The bird?
Birdsman.
Birdman. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, it was very nice.
It was weird.
Not very weird.
Do you like weird movies like he does?
Yes, I very like it.
A weird, really strange movie? You like the same thing?
I like same thing.
See, I can't get my wife to. She wouldn't watch that with me. I stole it and everything on the internet. I went through a lot of trouble, and she wouldn't watch. Do you get yours off the internet?
Not too much.
Oh, come on. You can admit it.
No.
Oh, okay. I get that. Yeah, okay. Well, nice to meet you. You are?
Greg. Greg. And my wife, Anna.
Anna.
Nice to meet you. Okay. All right. What am I doing now while I'm in the audience? Did I have cards I was going through? Was I here? Jerry Rickman from Nina, what is the most stupid question anyone has ever asked you? I say no more. When you look into the audience, do you imagine the people are only there in their undergarments? I've never done that. Let me try that. No, Mr. Rodriguez, I'm going to get away from you before I do that. I don't think I can do that. And frankly, they say that's supposed to relax you if you speak in front of a group, but that would not relax me. somewhat terrify me. Room full of naked. Any of you do public speaking? Have you ever used that technique? It doesn't work. Or if it does, you're in serious psychological trouble anyhow. Where would you suggest I retire? I don't know. Don't do it. I would suggest you don't do it.
No.
What?
No.
Why? Retire. Who said that? Retire. Where did that come from? Can you throw your voice? you said no. Did you retire?
I retired, yes.
So what are you doing with yourself?
I have a studio, so I paint, and then I clean around the house and do things I want to do when I want to do them.
He cleans the house since probably the first month of marriage. He found out I don't clean.
Are you in your second month of marriage now? Or? 43 years in a month. Oh, that's a long time. Congratulations. Pretty good. How'd you do that?
Huh?
How'd you do that?
Clean? I had a month. I had a.
Because you clean? It's kept you married for 43?
Yes, you know.
You got to do the cooking, too?
The kids. I had four boys, so they throw stuff all over the place. Yeah.
Do you have to do the cooking, too, or just the cleaning?
Well, I'm starting to learn to cook.
Really, after 43 years only, huh? When did you learn to eat is the question.
Oh, I always ate. Yeah, they throw it in front of me, I'd eat it, but I never cooked. I don't like food. I'm not into food.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, she...
Cleaning, are you one of those bounce a quarter on a bed thing?
I was a high school art instructor, and I'm dyslexic, and so I have to know where everything's at, so I constantly clean, and I paint. That's why I enjoy life.
I love that.
Retirement is great. Yeah. It is great.
It sounds like you're retired. It sounds like you're working harder now. And you are?
Roger Powers.
Roger and?
Sue.
How are you? Nice to see you both. There you go. That's how it works. I've been married like 30 years now, and I'm no closer to understanding why than I was at the beginning. But that's just me, and that's just her. Carol Van Lair, no question, just checking you out. Is this to me? Where's Carol? Hi, Carol. Let me just go over there a second. I don't get checked out all that often. I know what you do, Jeff. You're used to it.
What's that?
You're getting checked out. Big, handsome bass player, you like that. He gets. That gets you to.
By law enforcement, you mean? Or...
Oh, you get stopped a lot, too. I know that. How are you?
Hi, I'm great.
How am I?
Beautiful.
Come on. Come on. Not so bad, maybe.
You do all right.
I do all right. I would do all right. Okay. Okay. Well, it's nice to know. And, Carol, you're from what part of town of Milwaukee are you from?
Near Tulsa.
That's where I'm from, near Tulsa. I'm on 58th and Center. I was.
67th and Center.
Okay, you're actually in Tulsa, aren't you then?
No, I'm actually in Milwaukee.
When does Tulsa start?
68th Street.
68th, that sort of it.
One block shy.
That's what it is. I was trying to think the other day. I was in Milwaukee and I was talking about it and I got it wrong. I thought it started at 60th Street. But it actually, so there's a park. Is 68th Street Park? Is that still there?
Not that I'm aware of, yeah. No.
There's a park there and that's when, so that was like Wauwatosa Park. We slipped in there.
Enders Park is where I am near. Yeah. Yes.
68?
Roughly, yeah.
Okay, that's cool. That's a dividing line. Used to be a wall there, but they took it down. When.
More important to the Tulsaites than the Milwaukee people.
Well, thank you. Thanks for coming. And are you in town? Are you like just on?
My three friends, yes.
Yeah, how are you? How's everybody?
Two friends.
These are your last two friends? Because I... Maybe one.
I can't tell you what happened to the third one.
Yeah. Really? Okay.
I'd have to kill you.
Okay. This started out so well. She's checking me out. Now she has to kill me. Very nice to meet you, Carol.
Thank you.
Thank you all for coming. All right. All right. I guess we'll never know why do fools fall in love. That horn went off there. Or I brought a fiend who is from Chicago and a Cub fan. Would that be you, Mr. Rodriguez? Must be you. Fan. Friend. They say laugh in French. Do the ostrich and the flamingo get along? None of these. I'm saying we'll never know any of these. And why would all good union thugs flee Hayward this weekend? We've got to get that in. Why is that?
Over here.
Get Taylor? Yeah? Okay. Yes.
Governor Scott Walker is fishing in Hayward this weekend. And we union thugs want to stay out of his way.
Okay. Thanks for the heads up. All you thug fishermen out there. Let's see now. You saw how that worked the last time we did that quiz there. You think you could do that? Let's see those hands again. Time again for another What Do You Know quiz. Just a quiz that you... Come on. The trick to it is raising your hand or showing some interest. It is a quiz show, so we need some people to volunteer. What?
Watch it. I'm going to bomb.
Oh, you'll be great. What's your name?
Emily Holden.
Hey, Emily. How are you?
I'm here. Yeah.
Around here? Or?
I live in Verona, but I'm originally from St. Louis.
Okay. How do you find Verona similar to St. Louis?
It's nice. There's a lot more beer and cheese here.
Emily, give me one good reason you should play this quiz.
Because I love trivia. Love trivia.
Trivia? This is not trivia. This is my life, Emily. But come on anyway. It's trivial, I guess. Have a seat there if you would. Naugahyde. The classic Naugahyde couch. With the masking tape on it there. Duct tape, actually.
Real classy. It's duct tape.
Yeah. So then, what are you doing these days?
I'm a barista. I make coffee.
Oh, you do? Does that ever get old?
No. Not enjoy, really.
Yeah, really? What do you do to make it sort of fun and...
Make it fun?
Doable, yeah. Keep a good attitude and all that.
Well, when there's no people there, we'll make crazy, weird drinks and get a little...
You're it? Really?
Get a little crazy.
Where is this?
It's at a Starbucks.
At a Starbucks, okay.
Yeah.
Crazy drinks? You mean different combinations? Mm-hmm. This is how great Starbucks drinks are made, though, probably.
Yeah.
From baristas going a little crazy.
Yep.
In between.
Yep.
What have you made that could be a good magnet for Starbucks?
Something called a honey bun.
A honey bun. Okay.
It's white chocolate and cinnamon mixed together, and then you get the espresso, and it's good.
That sounds good. Yeah. Have you told someone about it?
Yeah. People come in all the time, and they'll be like, hey, just make me something. So I'll just make them something.
Well, that's very cool. Yeah. And management should know about this, though, that you're doing this. I am
the manager, so it's okay.
You are the manager. Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to imply that you weren't the manager. I meant, the higher-ups.
Oh, yeah.
This like a national breakout new drink.
Oh, there's a secret menu already.
There is?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a secret menu?
Yeah, it's not Starbucks approved, but people on the internet get creative.
No kidding.
There's a whole thing you can download and everything.
Yeah, well, that's really cool. Is that here in town?
Everywhere.
I mean, are you here in town?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yep.
I had no idea. That's like the band, marching band, Secret Lyrics.
I was in marching band, too.
Yeah. You're in marching band?
I was.
See, there's a connection there. You got a secret lyric book. Did you have a secret lyric book?
We made stuff up. That may or may not have been appropriate, but...
Okay. Very cool. Emily, someone up there plays along with you. How does that work then, Arnold?
If people want to play the quiz, they're going to pick up their phone, dial 800-942-5669. That's 1-800-WA-NO or 1-800-WACK-NOW, and answer this qualifying question.
Okay. It's another one of those percentage things, so those never go badly.
Yeah, right.
Percentage of people who agree somewhat that do-it-yourself projects are good for a relationship.
That's a good one.
Okay, they agree somewhat. Okay, so it's tentative. Saying no, they're good for a relationship. Within 50 or 60%, and you'll probably.
Yeah, I think that would be good.
Yeah. All righty then there. Let's go to the phones right there. Oh, there's Mike on the line there. I guess he knows the number because he called. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
Do you do a lot of do-it-yourself stuff around the house?
As little as possible because I'm dangerous with tools.
Yeah. Have you done it together like as a couple kind of thing?
Yes, and it doesn't always go well.
Yeah. So would you say that you agree somewhat with that projects are good for a relationship? Or what would you say percentage-wise people would say that?
I would say it's a 50-50 proposition.
Okay, 44%, which is surprisingly high. Anyhow, we got to give it to you, Mike. I'm surprised. Never did anything that wasn't nitpicked by my wife. So we can't work together.
Yeah.
I put in nails, she pulls them out.
That's right.
Yeah. I screw, she unscrews. And so forth.
Hang a picture, it gets put down.
Exactly. There's nothing wrong with that poster either.
You want to know the categories?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, the categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Yeah. Mike, what about you, though? Mike, what do you do there in Westerville?
I'm in sales.
You are? What do you sell?
Trash collection.
What?
Trash, waste removal, trash collection, recycling.
Oh, who do you sell that to? Businesses, I suppose.
Yeah, I'm a commercial sales rep for a local family-owned business.
Oh, you're an independent trash hauler business?
Yes, trash hauling, waste removal.
Yeah, so you're up against the big guys like Waste Management and all that stuff?
That is correct.
Yeah, well, how's that going? Pretty good?
Yeah, it's going well. It's a good company to work for.
Good. And what are you doing for fun these days? Are you a sportsman?
Right this very second, I'm out in the garage with a couple, three cats. Working on a car, and getting ready to go on a bike ride.
You mean cats in the hip sense?
No, cats as in four paws and furry.
Oh, okay. Because I don't really know what the scene is in Westerville, Ohio. So
it's hip, man.
Well, you should know what the scene's here. It's a hip college town. You were here at Otterbein a few months ago.
Oh, yeah. That's where Otterbein is, huh? That's right. What am I thinking of? I loved it out there. That was so cool. What's the car you're working on?
Right now, I'm cleaning up a BMW station wagon.
BMW? I didn't know there was such a thing. Very exciting. Okay. Mike, Emily, Mike.
Hi, how's it going?
Fine, Emily, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Okay, there you have it. They've bonded just like that. What categories do we have?
Those categories, again, are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Mike.
Let's do science.
Science it is. Can you teach an old cricket new tricks?
Would you repeat that, please?
It's the same if I repeat it as it was when I read it the first. Can you teach an old cricket new tricks? This is actually the University of Exeter in England. They've studied crickets, aging in crickets.
Well, here we go with another 50-50 answer.
Yeah.
I would say yes, you can.
I would probably agree.
No, you can't. Yeah. No, you can't. They explored everything.
Sorry,
they're
Emily.
Set in their ways. Well, a young cricket is one thing, but they get set in their ways. Darn
crickets.
Set in their ways. Okay, don't worry about it. That's just...
Just like all old people.
Remaining category. That's one wrong and zero right.
Okay, usually you say zero right and one wrong.
Oh, zero right and one wrong. Sorry about that.
What remains there?
And the categories, remaining categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school, and odds and ends.
Emily?
We'll go with things you should have learned in school.
Things you should learn in school, okay. Is the universe a hologram? Easy question.
Well, just going straight for the good stuff.
Mike? Emily?
Is the universe a hologram?
Yeah. Is it actually a hologram, and then just in two dimensions, made to look like three?
I would say no.
No.
Unless you think that's wrong.
I don't think. I'm a host.
I don't know. I kind of want to say yes.
Okay. Can we work this out? Can we say yes and no and leave it at that?
Well, I'll let Emily... take the lead on this one, and
I'll say yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Why not? Yes and no. It could be. We can't prove that it isn't. I'm going to accept that answer. There's
good
a whole
job,
big
Emily.
School
good
of
job.
Hologram now about. It's stupid, but it's just my show, so it's okay.
That's one right and one wrong.
Okay. Yes.
And the remaining categories are current events, people, places, and odds and ends.
Mike.
I got to go. Current events.
Current events. Right out of the news. Maybe not. Yes. So what was the NASA Mercury mission that we've heard so much about? The NASA.
The National Mercury Mission was a probe sent into space to study stars and planets and Mercury.
Uh-huh.
Which Mercury is a planet, of course.
Yeah, naturally. And so you said, so it slammed into Mercury just to, as a way of ending.
Oh no, it didn't land. It crashed into Mercury.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't coming back.
Okay, all right. Why'd they do that though? Any idea why they could have orbited the planet?
I don't have a good answer, but I believe they ran out of fuel.
It usually does orbit, but then it just crashes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. No, except that's exactly what it was though. And for some reason, it was the smash into Mercury.
That's two right and one wrong.
Finale. You get all the good pictures right at the end there. And then what's
remaining categories are people, places, and odds and ends.
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. This could be it. Which of the following has a machine gun butt? Huh. Is it the cowbird, the bombardier beetle, or the male hyena? Machine gun butt. That's the scientific, terminology.
I kind of want to say
what were the animal
beetle.
Choices again?
You want to say the bombardier beetle?
Well, I mean, I'm going to confer with Mike.
You're going to confer with Mike?
Okay, so there was a bombardier beetle, a hyena, and what was the
cowbird? Cowbird.
Well, obvious choice is probably going to be wrong, but I'll agree with her, bombardier beetle.
It is a bombardier beetle. How do you think you got the name? Come on. Holy cow, microburst of gaseous toxin. That happened.
Yes. And what are the prizes? I'll tell you. Emily, you can indulge in the amazing cheese culture of America's Dairyland with delicious products from Fromagination on Madison's Capitol Square. Artisanal cheeses and their perfect companions. And then laugh in the face of disaster with Timothy Lockley's cartoon collection, The Worst Case Scenario is Coming, from Mary Blacksmith Press. Keep it clean with a bar of What Do You Smell soap, redolent of the Wisconsin countryside and made by hand with love in Mississippi from the Screaming Porch in Bay St. Louis. And get the backstory of everything from capital punishment to Christianity in Glad You Asked, Intriguing Names, Facts, and Ideas for the Curious Minded by Michael Feldman from the editors of Encyclopedia Britannica and Triumph Books. Mike, you get nuggets of wisdom like a Feldman relaxes only under sedation in a chapter on how to get into radio. You've got Something I Said, Innuendo and Out the Other by Michael Feldman, including the hit CD My Life, the Musical from Terrace Books. Then harken back to the days of George W. and freshen your breath with a tin of tasty peach-flavored impeachments from the Unemployed Philosophers Guild. Show off your quiz-winning affluence wearing a bling ring from Morgan's Treasure Custom Jewelry in Westerville, Ohio. And keep in touch with friends and family by mailing a half-dozen vintage What Do You Know postcards and half-dozen classic greetings from Planet Feldman.
Thanks for coming.
Postcards.
PRI, Public Radio International.